And at times, I'm going to make some mistakes and just go with it. Yeah. So just go with it, man. Look like you know what you're saying. It is great to be here at Desert Hope. You got to also, I might make a mistake, I served at Desert Rose. So this is Desert Hope, and we are just thrilled to be here. Thank you to everyone who's made our short few days already just so hospitable. We got some friends also here from Fountain Hills, Shepherd Hills. I served there with Steve Bergeson. And, of course, I knew Jim, and I knew Dave, so it feels like it's not so foreign here. And also my family's here, my daughter Kim and Karsten, her husband, and the four kids, I almost said three, four kids, live up in Phoenix. But we are looking forward to partnering with you and learning what you're doing, how you're serving God, how you're growing faith and so forth in the coming months. And we are excited about it. And again, the focus for me is Jesus Christ. We can't get away from Jesus Christ. How is this affecting Christ? Is it honoring Christ? Are we advancing Christ? I'm going to talk about something really basic, but just kind of how I assess the health, my health or the church's health. And we're talking about sanctification now, which the Holy Spirit works. It's not just us doing stuff. It's after we're saved, how do we become more like Christ? Now, it does entail us opening some doors through reading scripture and in devotions and coming to church and so forth. That's part of it. But it's really the work of God. Sometimes you make the mistake and think that salvation is all total work of God, right? Saved by grace. And sanctification is a total work of us. It's just not true. They both demand the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we try to carry on our Christian faith, we just need the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul said, Colossians chapter 1. This is how he seemed to assess a number of his congregations. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all his people. Faith and love seem to be the criteria that he uses. Faith and love. That's the criteria I like to use in a church as we look at Desert Hope. Where are we? Where am I in my process of becoming more Christ-like? It's what's your faith like? Is your faith growing and are we impacting the world? Is the world a different place? If Desert Hope never existed, or if it went out of business tomorrow, would that matter in the world? You know, how much have you impacted the world? And you are impacting the world. And I'm going to learn more about all these ministries I'm hearing about. But the health of a church or an individual can be known by that. But faith has preeminence. Now, I took out something from the 10th chapter of Luke. But it's the whole chapter I want to look at. It ends, well, it starts with the sending of the 70, and then it is the Good Samaritan, and then we have Mary and Martha. And maybe Martha's working, trying to feed the people in the house, and Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, which might talk about Mary growing spiritually, her faith and love, right? Well, the faith component is Mary, who's just soaking it in. And Martha, and we're not sure why, whether it's just a works righteousness kind of thing, that she feels like she's going to earn something with Christ, but it might just be her talent and her gift. I don't know. But it seems it's preeminent, at least at that time. I mean, Jesus was present. That's like getting a backstage pass to your favorite rock band, you know. I mean, this is really cool. There's Jesus. So in that case, it's a little different. I mean, you know, there is a preeminence of Jesus who's in the house, and, you know, we want to listen. This is the voice of God and so forth. But and then Martha comes, and she reminds us of impacting the world because this is about growing in faith and impacting the world. And Martha, there's time for that, and it goes hand in hand. We grow our faith, and we seek to impact the world through our gifts and talents as a church, but also as an individual. So we grow in faith, we impact the world. Martha grew in faith, Mary grew in faith, Martha impacted the world. And there's a time for that. I mean, after Jesus leaves, then people are going to eat, and they're going to have to eat. And she has apparently a gift of hospitality. And Mary's not lazy, she just loves Christ. So I want to talk about growing faith, impact the world. That's how we assess the health of a church and the health of an individual, or at least what I do for myself. Growing in faith. And each of these have two components. To grow in faith, there's two components, head and heart, right? Head and heart. And they're different. But they, of course, are making us more Christ-like, but it's head and it's heart. The head is knowledge, understanding of the faith. It's not the faith. The doctrine of the church is not the faith, but it protects the faith, okay? So often, and Lutherans are really good at this. We come from an intellectual background. Luther and all his colleagues in the 1500s were scholars. And so a lot of times we can err in the sense of the head. You know, we do the head stuff. We learn the doctrine, and we're good at it. And it's really great. But sometimes we miss the heart part. Not the hard part, the heart part, which may be the hard part for many of us in this room, who are a certain way. A lot of men are more interested in the head than the heart, and women generally seem to be more interested in relationship and the heart stuff. Titus 1, verse 1 says this, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. He's talking about he's in charge of giving them a correct understanding of the faith and in following Jesus Christ. And that's essential. Doctrine is essential. Understanding the faith is essential. It just really is. But it's not the faith. It's the protection around the faith, right? I spent 7 years after I became a Christian at age 13, gave my life to Christ. I spent 7 years condemning myself, striving to try to be worthy of God's ongoing relationship. And striving, and I was all messed up. That was an obstacle. If you don't get the head things right, they become obstacles to your growth and becoming Christ-like. And so so the head is essential, but it's not the faith. It's not the faith. I didn't understand that. Because I didn't understand this doctrine correctly, the doctrine of grace, I suffered so much. I lacked so much joy. Now, I felt good when I was reading the Bible a lot, praying a lot, going to church a lot. Then I felt great. Then I felt almost worthy. But most of the time, it was self-condemnation. I've been going through my journals of those years recently, and just a lot of self-condemnation. Oh, God can't love me. He just can't love me because look what I'm doing and so forth. Well, the truth and the head understanding came in college from a Pentecostal. A Pentecostal teaching a Lutheran about grace. He sat me down, and I'm going to talk about this next week. I want to give my journey of faith next week, so I got to be careful not to say too much. But a guy that is mature in the faith sat me down and said, you got it all wrong. You don't understand the grace of God. Changed my life. It was like a second conversion experience. That removed an obstacle. Doctrine is to remove obstacles so that we can grow into greater intimacy with Jesus Christ. Heart. Growing in faith has to do with head, has to do with heart. Understanding and intimacy. Now, the heart piece is harder, I think for most Christians in the world. I think for Lutherans or maybe sometimes Presbyterians or other traditional churches, it's also a difficult thing because we don't address it a lot. There's a whole new world for you if you haven't understood and if you have not yet experienced the intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's what we're all about, right? We want to grow in faith, impact the world, but we want to grow in faith. I do want to say again, go back to Mary. It's preeminent. The preeminence is of faith, growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. The head, understanding that, removes the obstacles, but now we're really onto it with the heart. John 21:17. Jesus says to Simon the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? How often do we talk in those terms that I love Jesus? I love Jesus. I don't think it's just in a common vocabulary in many denominations, but we need to restore it. Intimacy is the thing that will make you want to live for him. I mean, if you get intimate with this Jesus who loves you so much, then everything's already done. We don't even have to preach to you anymore. I mean, we do because we forget. But you understand, you get excited about Jesus Christ, everything else will fall into place. You'll want to share Christ. You'll want to read scripture. You're going to want to do the things that would honor God but also grow your intimacy with Christ. I divide faith. There's two kinds of faith. One is saving faith, and one is, I call it life faith. Now, saving faith is all the work of God, right? Right? We're saved by grace, what Jesus Christ did. We repent, we believe, and we come into this glorious union with God through Jesus Christ. That's salvation. It's done. Christ has accomplished it. We have no part in it except just to relish in it. Okay? So that's great. But what about life faith? We're dealing with life faith now. I mean, unless you just walk away from the faith entirely, that faith is there. But life faith is, what kind of trust do you have? What's your trust level of this man Jesus? Okay? This is intimacy. We're getting into intimacy with Jesus Christ, knowing him. Life faith is, how much do you trust God when something breaks? When the dam breaks, do you trust God? And again, that's a growing process your whole life, isn't it? Sometimes it's like, well, hopefully it's like this. You know, Kay and I have learned so many times about how God will step in. And then sometimes when God doesn't step in, and we hope that it's gotten better, but it doesn't always go a straight line up. But that's where we're heading. That's where we want to go. Life faith is trusting in Jesus Christ for everything. You worry less. You fear less because you know him, Jesus Christ. Also, in the heart intimacy, which has to do with love, loving Jesus, receiving his love. But it's knowing the love of Jesus. That is the biggest problem we have in the church and in my life is knowing the love of Jesus. I certainly didn't know the love of Jesus as a kid for those 7 years, as I kept thinking Jesus was accusing me and blaming me, and if I was in a room with him alone, he would wag his finger at me. What I found is when you encounter Jesus, there's no condemnation. And it's the love of God that fuels everything. That's why Mary, that's preeminent. Faith is preeminent because it fuels everything else we do. We got to get that straight first. But there's a God who loves you so much. He adores you so much that he died on a cross for you. He'd rather die than not be in a relationship with you. It's all about this. The doctrines remove stuff so we can be about this. But it's about this. Intimacy with Christ. In Ephesians 3, there's a prayer Paul has for the Ephesians. And it talks, he wants them to know the love of God. It's height and depth and breadth and length. Remember that one? Those verses, that verse you remember, because it's just such a powerful thing. And he says that it's incomprehensible. He's praying for that, something for them that they'll never receive. By the way, I just have to say this. Coming in from the east to Tucson, there's these signs. I don't know if Agnostic wrote them. These signs on the highway, they kept saying, gusty winds might exist. I just had to say that. And you can help me after church. Fill me in, please. they may exist. God's love may exist. No, it's when you really encounter the love of God, which happens through the power of the Holy Spirit, because Paul says in the prayer, it's impossible to know except for the power of the Holy Spirit. But if we come to know Jesus Christ, we won't have to tell each other anything. We don't have to have stewardship sermons, because you're going to want to give. I'm going to want to give. The more we become intimate with Jesus Christ, which happens through Scripture, through small group, through gathering together now, and through many other ways, the more that happens, the more we open the door for the Spirit of God to work in us an understanding of the love of Christ. I'm convinced that if Jesus showed up right now, he wouldn't be a Packer fan, I know that. Oh my, I touched a chord, didn't I? If Jesus appeared right here, right now, and again, those first 7 years of my Christian life, he was like, I was convinced he was like this. If he appeared here, you would fall on your knees and you'd worship, and you'd know his love, and in his presence, you'd realize that he always has loved you, even when you've been imperfect. That's what we want to work towards, isn't it? We don't want anything first. We want Christ first. We want to know Christ. We want to know his love. We want to know his compassion and his heart for us. And that's the heart piece of faith. That's a harder one. I think it's a harder one for men, generally. A harder one for Lutherans and Presbyterians and other head-oriented folks. I mean, Lutheran seminaries, there's probably more head pastors being trained than heart. You know, we think of the doctrine, and it's essential. But it really comes down to knowing Christ. Now, in this chapter, we've got Mary and Martha at the end, but then we have two different parts, because I want to talk now about impacting the world. Grow in faith, head and heart. Then impacting the world is going to be the great commandment and the great commission. Well, this chapter is pretty cool because you got Mary and Martha kind of doing both. And then when Jesus sends out the dozens of men to go evangelize, that's at the beginning of the chapter. And it says at one point, let's go back to great commandment first. What's the great commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's in the scripture today, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And love God, of course, with your whole heart. So there, again, there's that intimacy. There's this piece of intimacy that God is striving for with us. So impacting the world is the great commandment and the great commission. The great commandment is just caring for people with needs. A lot of Viking fans are in need of a lot of comfort and care. I've had a kind of a mentor, a Viking mentor in my life who kind of guides me through this. But the great commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Love, love, love. It is really about love. But it starts with faith, because if you understand the love of God, then you can share it. Then you can be empowered with your gifts and so forth to move on. But the great commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we want to do now. But we're growing in faith while we're seeking to serve God in the world. Now the question is, what is this church good at? And I'm going to find that out. God has pieced together different churches with different gifts. I mean, like a church can have different gifts. And I'm anxious to find out what those gifts are. You have particular gifts, which have been emphasized in the last many months or last year. You have gifts. And God has given those to you so you might be released to love. Just love. And I'm talking about caring for people and their basic needs in life. And this church does in many ways. You know what, though? Let's go bigger. There's a church recently that I heard that they paid off their building. They left the denomination. They paid off their building. And then they wanted to add on. After 5 years, they paid off their building. They wanted to add on. And the church said, no, let's spend 2 years giving money away. Because you know how building projects can just consume you? It takes your focus. Can take your focus. Now, it's for a greater good if God is calling you to do that. But they said, you know what? We're just going to stop and we're going to think of other people. Instead of building our own church, they spent $35,000 they sent to Vietnam to help build a church there. They built wells. They started a foster care group in the small town, a foster care group that was from many different churches, caring about encouraging foster care and adoption. This church, Desert Hope, you have particular gifts, and I'm excited to find out what they are. I have particular gifts. You have particular gifts. But in impacting the world, we need to use those gifts. We need to use those gifts. And we're talking about sacrificially. Let's do something great. Do you want to do something great? I mean, you already have. Let's do something greater. Let's go big. Let's do something great in the world for God. Let's do stuff that's so big that it's just greater than anything else you can think of. Serving is the greatest thing after knowing Christ. So impacting the world is loving. And that also comes in this Good Samaritan story in this chapter. A Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was who had been beaten and somebody stole everything he had. And he had pity on him. And he went to him, bandaged his wounds, and he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. Go and do likewise. Okay, there is go and do likewise. Go and do. Okay, be sacrificial. Make a difference. And God will bring the right times together. I mean, this the Samaritan coming at that time, it was God ordained. But go and do. Now, sending out the dozens of people in the beginning of the chapter, that's go. It says here, the Lord anointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of them to every town and place he was about to go. And he told them, go, dot, dot, dot. And it goes through some phrases and some words. And tell them the kingdom of God has come to you. So that's the great commission. The great commandment, love your neighbor. Great commission, Matthew 28. Go into all the world, make disciples. That's Matthew 28. That's the great commission. He sends us out too. And that's a hard thing for us too. We got to relearn that. We got to learn it again about how can we share Christ? How can we do it better? How do we equip ourselves? How do we get empowered by God? But that's the Great Commission. He sends out the 72, go and say. We got it. We have to go and do, and we have to go and say. The Great Commission, Great Command. We need to focus on both. And we need to focus on areas, too. You know, Jesus said before he rose, you shall receive power, and you should be witnesses in where? Jerusalem, your town, and Judea and Samaria, your region, and the ends of the earth. Impacting the world, again, all stems from knowing Christ. We need to keep growing in Christ. I'm going to challenge you to keep going. There's so many people that do Bible study at home in this church, way above average. There's Bible studies that you go to, you do online. There's a Bible reading thing that maybe half of you do, which is incredible. But we're going to keep with the power of God going further. Let's just go further with God's help. Okay? Let's go further. Let's grow in faith, head and heart. Let's impact the world, the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, so that the world may know his love. Amen.